A relatively new feast that we celebrate today, which is a feast of the Holy Family, established by Pope Leo XIII, and which the Church wishes to ardently promote in these days, the Feast of the Holy Family, due to the great evils that we see, in particular in the unceasing and parallel attacks on the family, as the family life at its very foundation. So this feast today that we celebrate is crucial, is critical. In fact, the Church wishes to place such importance on this feast that she places it on the first Sunday after the celebration of Christmas and Epiphany, so as to connect it with the very mystery of the incarnation of the Word made flesh. Not just simply made flesh, but, as we read on the octave of Christmas, made from a woman, from a virgin mother, espoused to Saint Joseph, and thus made from a family. God chose a family as the instrument of salvation. The family then resembles and is an image of the Holy Trinity. It reflects the Trinitarian love of God towards its creatures. In God, we find a community of persons. Think about the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In the wisdom of God, the family on earth represents this community of persons. And we see the action of the Blessed Trinity at the moment of the Annunciation, when the action of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity formed the family. God the Father sends the angel to announce that he will send his Son to be conceived in the womb of the Blessed Mother, and that this will take place through the action of the Holy Spirit. When Mary accepts, a new society begins, a human family among human families, which is one at one and at the same time an ideal and an earthly trinity. The image of a Holy Family is not just simply a nice picture. It's not a bucolic scene, the nativity set, the crib, the manger. Rather, for us, it should inspire hope, since the Holy Family, as Pope Leo XIII pointed out, the Holy Family is destined to be a pattern for all other families, that all men therein might behold a perfect model, as well of domestic life as of every virtue and pattern of holiness, for such then indeed was the Holy Family of Nazareth, a living example of a school of virtues. What hope then must this inspire in us? To have a family then is to undertake a supernatural work, if it is truly a Catholic one. Christian family, recognize your dignity. The increase of the kingdom of God depends on holy families. If we have a model and a school of virtues in the Holy Family, at first impression we can see or we can think that the characters represented at the Holy Family were sinless. Therefore, it would have been easier for them. But the answer to this is that they were sinless because they cooperated with God's grace through humble obedience. Indeed, obedience is the virtue that will make families holy. And the Church wishes to place before our eyes in the Holy Family today obedience. As the Gospel ends with the astonishing words, "And he was subject to them." Obedience is a living example in the roles of the Holy Family. Pope Leo XIII states that to all fathers of a family, Joseph is the best model for paternal vigilance and care. In the Most Holy Virgin Mother of God, mothers may find an excellent example of love, modesty, and the perfecting of faith through resignation of spirit. And finally, the children of a family find in Jesus a divine pattern of obedience which they can imitate. The life of wisdom itself, our Lord, the incarnated Word, life of wisdom itself remained hidden from the eyes of men through the humble solitude of family life. Each one of these models lived perfectly in obedience to God's plan. As a result of that, then, obedience is a virtue that perfects human nature, unites us to God through the fulfillment of the vocation, the role given to us, and then we can become holy and happy. Let's see the three elements here with Saint Joseph, the Blessed Mother, and our Lord as the Divine Child. Saint Joseph enjoys the title of being that just man, as we read in the Bible, who hid in silence the mystery he did not understand. The Blessed Mother pregnant, for example, what the scripture tells us, and he was minded to put her away privately. He knew all he knew, says a spiritual author, that she was involved in a mystery whose solution lay with God, and from him we learn docility to listen to the voice of God in prayer. As a father at the home of Nazareth, he taught the divine infant, first and most of all, the obligations to God. As we know that the first obedience is to the law of God, obeying the commandments. Joseph taught Jesus by his example, by his bearing. It was Joseph who early on the Sabbath took the child to the synagogue and initiated him into the ritual. The attendance at church with the father of the family is the best living example we give to the family as a father. Such was then Saint Joseph. It was he who taught him to pray, since in Israel the obligation to do so belonged first to the father of the family and continues to be so. Like that, then, since the father should lead prayers at home in imitation to this just man modeled in the Bible. He taught him the proverbs of his race, the history and traditions of his people. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the scriptures say? The day finally came when Joseph let the child Jesus know how to use the tools himself at the workshop, working with him side by side. He learned to sew boards, fit parts together, polish wood. Joseph taught him the importance of work in order to guide and raise up a family. While in Bethlehem we learn about the necessity of detachment and poverty and renunciation, in Nazareth we continue learning about the dignity of labor and its value as a means of sanctification and redemption. These two main elements we learn about the living fatherhood of Saint Joseph. Learning about God, learning to pray, and learning to work. Bishop Sheen, in his book, Three to Get Married, talks about the nature of man. And he says that man is someone who can accomplish easily a heroic act in one particular instance. That's why man is meant to war. In war you have. It requires that the man will have heroic acts in war. And then Saint Joseph gives that example. For example, when he was trying to find out a place in the inn, or when they have to run in the flight to Egypt. All of those things were heroic instances in which Saint Joseph had to take the lead and the care of the family. Bishop Sheen says that by nature man can accomplish those things in an easy way. While a woman, he says, is capable of a more sustained sacrifice than man. Fulton Sheen compares the different types of mothers when he talks about motherhood with an analogy of the gospel of the parable of the good seed. Remember, the seed that falls where the soil was good yields a harvest, some 100-fold. As the bearer of seed, she throws herself completely on God, saying with Mary, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." The submission to the land is passive. However, the earth must now undergo the sacrifice of digging and harrowing. In woman, the submission is sacrificial. The Blessed Virgin Mary knew that her son would become a sign of contradiction. At the prophecy of Simeon, all her joy turned into sorrow. In that exterior ritual of the presentation of the child in the temple, it is represented an interior submission to the will of God by rendering the child as a victim for the redemption of many. Thus, the Blessed Virgin Mother rightly is called Queen of Saints and Queen of Martyrs. That action shows the essence of obedience in that act of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because we give up our own will to do the will of another, and we offer them the most pleasing sacrifice to God. Isn't then motherhood heroic? Through the years, months, and even seconds of daily life, the very repetition of household duties. There is no vacations, there is no really holidays from that. And mothers can probably say that, affirm that. That is done in cooperation with the grace of God as the soil which represents the soul that needs the sacrifice of watering and digging every single day. And that's the example of Fulton Sheen that he puts when he talks about motherhood. Finally, what the Gospel says here. Today, St. Paul. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The divine child at home as an apprentice of Joseph's at the workshop did not do anything without asking Joseph's advice. He showed docility to his father's teaching. He was subject to them, the scriptures say. He did nothing except in entire dependence upon them. He always showed them deference and respect. He foresaw their needs, and with devotedness he hurried to serve them. See what is here a good point about obedience, that for children, right? We don't need to, or you don't need to see or to be told what to do, but you know what to do. And that's what our Lord says, that he foresaw their needs. That's a good way of acting virtuously in this virtue. Do I really need to be told every time what to do if I already know what they are expecting me to do? The honor he paid Joseph was religious, filial, since he saw the image of his Father in heaven. When we obey our superiors in every legitimate command, they represent an image of God, since God is the source of all authority. We will find this yoke easy and burden light if we consider those whom we obey as in the place of God Himself, as is truly the case when their authority is legitimate. Family life is not easy. Such is every community of people together. However, the Church invites us to look at the Holy Family and ask for their intercession. St. Joseph, as a model of Christians, to whom Pope Leo XIII wrote, "We come to you in our afflictions, O blessed Joseph, in order that, helped by your example and intercession, we may live in a holy way." Let us examine then our conscience today. Do we say with the devil, "I will not serve, do what you will," or with Our Lady, "Be done unto me according to thy word"? Upon our response, the salvation of the world depends, the salvation of our own souls. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.